All right. We're going to pray. We're going to look to God's word together. Father, I just thank you for the word of the Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you for the Spirit of God that's in this place to open the eyes of our understanding, to help us to comprehend the eternal truths of the word of God. And I pray, Father, that today that faith would rise in the hearts of your people. I pray, Father, that today that you would help me, Lord, to speak exactly what you'd have me to, and that, Father, that as only you can, by your Spirit, that you would speak to each heart in life what they need today, Lord, to serve you, to live for you, to believe you, and to glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Believe. If we believe, it opens up so many possibilities. If we believe, so many blessings are available to us. So many fantastic promises are available to us. If we just simply believe. Jesus says in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. In Mark 10:27, he says, with God, all things are possible. And I want you to understand that we serve a God who can do absolutely anything. And when you have a God who can do absolutely anything, and you have people who believe, powerful things happen. Powerful things. That's a powerful combination, a God who can do anything, and people that will believe him. It's life-changing. It's family-changing. It's world-changing power. I'm telling you, believing is powerful, because when we believe, he moves if we just believe. It sounds simple, but it's not always easy to believe. Some find it difficult to believe because their hearts have become calloused one way or another. Some find it difficult to believe because they've been disillusioned when things didn't work out in the past the way that they thought it should or would. Some find it difficult to believe because they just have to see it to believe it. In fact, some have a hard time believing because they want to have all the answers first. In their reasoning, their mind is so full of human reasoning, there's no room for believing. And the answer to not believing is, well, it may not be easy, but it's simple. You choose to believe. You choose to just trust him and believe. That's the answer. Now, since you came to church today, I'm pretty sure that, well, there's a good chance at least that you believe in God. In fact, most of you've probably put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I mean, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead, then the Bible says that you are born again. You are a new creation in Christ. You see, powerful things happen when we believe the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us that the Word of God effectively works in you who believe. It's at work in us who believe. We hear a word from God, or we read it in our Bibles, and we simply choose to believe that word in our life. Like Mary, when she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." You know, some of the promises and the truths of Scripture can be so fantastic and so awesome that maybe to the world, it would seem crazy. Well, it certainly was crazy what the angel said to Mary, that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and she was going to conceive and bear God's Son. And yet, she had the faith to say, "Be it unto me according to your word." And if we just have that simple kind of faith to just believe God when he gives us a word, When we hear that promise and we just say, be it unto me according to your word, then the Bible says that that word works effectively in us. Such great power available to those who believe. But many times the issue is not whether or not we can believe in that moment when we hear that promise or we get a hold of that truth. It's whether or not we can keep on believing. It's easy to believe for a while. It's easy sometimes to believe in church, right? I mean, sometimes you're in church, you're in the presence of God, and you hear the word of the Lord, and it's easy to believe in church sometimes, and then Monday morning comes, you know, they say, back to reality. Well, I got to tell you, when you were in church is when you were thinking right. You know, when you're in the presence of God and hearing God's word and you're with God's people and you have faith to believe, that's when you were thinking right. And I just want to tell you, it's easier sometimes to believe on Sunday morning in church than it is on Monday morning heading down the freeway. Yeah. Sometimes it's easier to believe when, you know, it just seems like things are going your direction, when things are looking good, looking up, it's easier to believe. But when things get tough, when it gets hard, when things are not going right, then can we keep on believing? Jesus talks about keeping on believing in the parable of the seed of the Word of God. And we had a series about the heart just a few months ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, Jesus tells us that the seed that fell on the rocky soil, this is what he says, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the Word of God with joy. You know what? Sometimes we get all excited and we say, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I believe that. He says, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in the time of temptation or testing, they fall away. They believe for a little while, and yet when things get tough, they no longer believe. They fall away. So you may believe that you are a new creation in Christ. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he came, he said, to give us abundant life. But then after a while, maybe the new kind of wears off. And maybe you fall into some temptation. You make some terrible mistake. And, you know, the devil gets you under condemnation. You're feeling all bad about yourself. And the doubts come. And maybe you start thinking things like, well, maybe it was just an emotional experience that I had. Maybe this works for other people, but not for me. Maybe it was never real. And then you decide, well, you know what? I don't think I really need to go to church that much. And you stop going to church so much, and it gets easier and easier until finally you just don't go anymore. And you get to the place where you just don't really believe. Might still believe in God, but don't really believe in the promises of God. Don't really believe in the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. I'm telling you, you got to keep on believing. You got to keep on standing on the Word of God. Now, listen, when we're shallow, what that means is that we need to get some roots. And you do that with a deep commitment. You do that by staying in the Word and in prayer. You can't just be a shallow Christian. You got to dig in if you're going to keep on believing. You got to have some roots. But in Luke 8:13, Jesus said, they have no root, and in the time of testing, they fall away. So we need to be ready for the time of testing. We need to realize that sometimes our faith is going to be tried. We shouldn't be surprised when our faith is tried. I think this is one of the things that really messes up a lot of Christians, is that they think that everything is just going to be okay and there's never going to be... I'm telling you, there's going to be a time of testing. There's going to be trials of faith. In fact, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't be surprised. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." By the way, I want you to see that it is to try you, not to destroy you. There's a big difference. Can you say amen? I'm glad it's to try us and not to destroy us, as though some strange thing happened to you. And you know, it's amazing how the Word of God speaks to us today, because I can tell you that lots and lots of people think it's strange when they go through a fiery trial. Like, this wasn't supposed to happen. I'm telling you, there's going to be testing, there's going to be trials, but if you keep on believing, you will come out on the other side in victory. In fact, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now, you know what? That verse is a challenge. It is a struggle. Because on the surface, we look at that and we're like, what kind of crazy person gets joyful about a trial, a test? Well, let me tell you, the kind of person that knows that they're going to come out in victory on the other side. As he tells us, he goes on and he says, knowing, see, you got to know something, that the testing of your faith produces patience. And that's not patience like the sit around wait patience. That's patience as in biblical patience of perseverance. It's going to produce that perseverance in us. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You become complete, mature. You get strong. You come out on the other side as a mature believer, stronger than you've ever been before. How'd that happen? The trying of your faith. But I'm telling you that you got to keep on believing. Job said, in Job 23 and 10, he said, "When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." And he did. Job went through such heartache, such disaster, but it only lasted a few months. And the Bible says that God blessed Job with twice what he had before. And Job lived 140 years after that test and that trial. I'm telling you, he came out on the other side as gold. We need to be aware that we're going to have tests. We're going to have a trial of faith. Sometimes, as Peter said, it's a fiery trial. And we need to learn to keep on believing. A time of testing comes in different ways. Sometimes things just take a turn for the worse. You're believing for a better job, and instead of getting a better job, you lose the job you had. You're praying for a child that's going the wrong direction, and instead of them turning back to God, you see them get involved with the wrong kind of people, and they end up getting in trouble with the law. I'm just telling you, sometimes there is a trial of your faith. You're believing God, you're standing on the word for your marriage, and your spouse comes and tells you they want a divorce. You're praying, you're believing, got a word from God, and things don't get better. Instead, they get worse. Y'all real quiet on me. Anybody ever had that happen? Any kind, you pray and believe and things got worse? Why do we think it's strange? The Bible says don't think it's strange. There's going to be tests. There's going to be trials. You believe in God for healing, for health, and you'll get a bad report. A ruler of the synagogue named Jairus comes and asks Jesus to heal his little girl who is sick, and while they're on the way, they get word that the little girl has died. And it seems before the man can even say anything, Jesus tells him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." You see, when you get a bad report, when things just go from bad to way, way, way worse, here's the words of Jesus: don't be afraid, only believe. It's Mark 5:36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." See, when fear would grip your heart, you have a choice. That you can decide that you are not going to be afraid, but you're going to believe. You're going to trust God in spite of the way things look, in spite of the fact that it seemed like it just went from bad to worse. You're just going to trust Him. You're going to believe and not be afraid. When it seems impossible, all things are possible to him that believes. You have to choose to keep on believing. And we need to see that in this brief conversation, that what Jesus says to the man, where he says to him, don't be afraid, only believe. You know what that tells me? That we can believe. We don't have to be afraid. We got to keep on believing even when things take a turn for the worse. Sometimes the testing is when it seems like our prayers are denied. Now, if you have your Bible, you might turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to look at verses 21 through 28. But have you ever prayed and it just seemed like your prayers weren't getting anywhere? Have you ever prayed and all you heard was silence, like you got the silent treatment from God? Have you ever prayed and, you know, it was like you were just wasting your time? What am I doing? And, well, let's read this passage. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Some of you have some kids you've wondered about, right? It's not too hard for God. But he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Silence. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." And he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It sounds like that this woman would be the first one that came to Jesus that he said, "No, I'm not going to help you." We know that Jesus healed and did miracles for people who were not of the house of Israel. People like the centurion, who asked for his servant to be healed. I'm just telling you, Jesus did do miracles and heal people who were not of the house of Israel. But we may not understand sometimes why our prayers are seemingly being denied. We may not know what God is doing. I mean, the disciples didn't get it. But I want to tell you something, that God knows what He's doing. And He loves us. He loves this woman. As you read this passage, it may seem like He is being unfair. It may seem like He's being harsh with her. But I'm telling you that He is doing a work in her heart and life. He's bringing her to a place of great faith. And so it is many times when we are going through a test, a trial, the trying of our faith. I'm telling you, God is doing something. He is at work. And what is her response to this statement that he was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? She came and she worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She didn't give up. She came and she worshiped him. She was not ready to be denied. She came and she worshiped him and she said, "Lord, help me." Listen, when it seems like your prayers are being denied, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep worshiping God. Don't get mad at God, but worship Him. Well, it gets worse, doesn't it? He answered and he said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." I want to remind you, just keep this in your thoughts here. This is the loving and kind, the merciful Jesus. This woman had to come to a place of true humility to truly believe. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And here she has presented herself before him in worship. She has asked for his help, and now she says to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Do you ever feel undeserving? Did you know that that will not stop your prayer from being answered? We don't deserve His goodness. We don't deserve. That's why it's mercy. That's why we're asking the Lord for mercy. But what will stop your prayer is pride. And this woman's pride was all laid aside when she says to him, "But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Listen, her faith, her trust was not in herself. It was not in how spiritual she was or wasn't. Her faith was in Jesus and Jesus alone. She would not be denied. Even though he said these things, she continued to believe. She just kept on believing. And Jesus says to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I want to point out to you, she did not get angry. Don't get angry when you feel like your prayers are being denied. Do not get angry, but worship. Humble yourself before a mighty, loving God. Don't get angry. She didn't say, "It's not fair." She didn't say, "Well, you did for these other people. It's not fair." But instead, she humbled herself before him and she believed. Keep believing. When your prayers seem to be being denied, you keep believing. It's not always, listen, sometimes it is those who we think would be the least likely to receive a miracle. Maybe we don't even think they're spiritual, but let me tell you, if they can believe, if they can come to that place where they really believe, God can answer their prayer. Sometimes the testing is not at all like we thought it would be, because sometimes we go through the fire. I know many of you know this story, but we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3 and read from verse 16. Daniel chapter 3, beginning from verse 16. King Nebuchadnezzar has had a great golden image constructed, and when ever the music is played, everyone is to bow down to this golden image in worship. But there are three Hebrews who refused to bow down. They refused to bow down to another god. King Nebuchadnezzar hears about it, and so it makes him angry, but he gives them one more chance. And we're going to pick the story up there in verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Listen, they said, our God is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. But they said, but if not, we're still not going to bow. We're still not going to back down. We're still not going to bend our knee to another God. Our faith, our trust is still in our God. Keep on believing. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. An expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it usually was heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning furnace. The burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They said, true, O king. Look, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. I want you to hear, the Lord did not keep them from going into the fiery furnace. He could have. But they were taken up. You see, we read these stories and we know the end. We know how this plays out. What if you would have been one of the 3? As they're carrying you up the steps to throw you in. And you're all bound and tied up. And then they throw you into the fire. These men believed. Didn't matter what it looked like, didn't matter what was happening, they believed that God was able to deliver them. That he was able to keep them. And sometimes the testing, it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. Sometimes you go through the fire, but our God is more than enough, and he will be there in the midst of the fire with you. He has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Nebuchadnezzar had the privilege of seeing that 4th man like the Son of God in the fire. You may not see him in the fire with you, but he is there. Oh, the Bible tells us that though we don't see him, yet we believe. It's 1 Peter 1:8. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. See, we can rejoice because we know that God is with us. Whatever the fiery trial is that we go through, we know that our God is right there with us every step of the way, and he'll bring us through. The Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were unharmed. They came out and not a hair on their head was singed. God kept them. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, he says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Don't back up. Don't back down on your faith. Keep on believing. Even through the test, the trials. Listen, when things get worse, when it seems like your prayers are being denied, and when you go through the fire, keep on believing. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I want you to hear this morning, if you will keep on believing, don't stop believing. No matter what it looks like, no matter what happens, you keep on believing. You will always have joy. You will always be filled with joy. But if you stop believing, you will find sorrow and sadness with no hope. Keep on believing, and you'll stay full of joy. Keep on believing, and you'll stay full of peace. A peace that passes understanding. A perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. Keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. See, you just keep trusting him. You just keep believing. You can have that perfect peace. But if you stop believing, then there's worry, there's fear, there's anxiety, distress. I'm telling you, keep on believing. And the God of hope who fills you with joy and peace and believing, listen, he will cause you to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You never despair. You never get to that place where you just give up. No, you always have hope, always full of joy, always full of peace. But you got to keep on believing. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. Prayer partners, would you go ahead and come? Father, I just thank you that you are so faithful. You are so trustworthy. Lord, forgive us for the times when we have failed to truly believe. I pray, Father, that today, Lord, that those who are discouraged, Lord, that those who are struggling, those who are in the midst of a test, a trial right now, I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them in the inner man, that their faith will not fail, but they'll be strong in faith, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Father, I just thank you that you are at work in our lives. And Father, I pray that today that you would just bring us into a closer place with you, Lord, as we believe and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maybe somebody here today that you've never really believed enough to turn your life over to him. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to do that today, to trust him with your life. He is trustworthy. Believe. Believe. Some of you here, maybe there was a time when you really believed God, but you've just kind of backed away. Some things have happened. You got discouraged and you backed away. Listen, it's time for you to get back on track with God and really believe and trust him again. Keep on believing. Some of you, you're right there in the midst of a fiery trial. Let somebody pray with you this morning and stand in faith with you. Add their faith in agreement with you. Whatever the battle might be, whatever your prayer request, you say, oh, I've been prayed for and I've been prayed for. My prayers have been denied. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. Don't stop. Keep on believing. In that fiery trial right now, keep believing. Let somebody pray with you this morning. We're just going to take a few minutes right now in our service to pray and to worship. And if you need prayer, you come. If you don't need prayer, will you worship God and you pray for those that do come? But I believe that the same miracle-working God that we read about in the Scripture, that he is here this morning. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's believe him for breakthroughs. Let's believe God for intervention. Let's believe him for answered prayers this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. If you need prayer, you come right now.